Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It must be Saturday. Look where we are. We're in the closet again.
We're in the closet, but we have a full audience today.
Well, they're inside the studio.
I got Wawa here. We got
a lot of folks going on here, but it's the El Paso History Radio Show that we do here every week. And so good morning.
Good morning.
You're surviving?
It's a beautiful day out today.
It really is. So we're going to throw radio out there and see who wants to grab some of it. It's a live radio show, as we always do, KTSM AM 690, as is our normal. And we also have the saying that Texas history begins in El Paso. And nobody has effectively challenged that.
Nope.
Because they can't.
Nope.
It's the way
it
is. But we got it on 690 AM and where else?
You can listen to us on ktsmradio.com, where you can click on the iHeartRadio link and put it on your phone, your computer, or your tablet, and listen to us anywhere in the world.
Did you figure out trivia already?
Yes, I did. I got two questions for the second hour, where you have a chance to win two Pepe's coupons, one person, for the correct answer to the trivia questions. And I had an interesting story this week. Two ladies stopped over at Pepe's. They only meant to get a quick little snack while they were there. They ended up spending like an hour and a half with Pepe because he was telling them the history and all this with all the different items he has in the restaurant. They just love Pepe, so they're going back.
Well, you know, we made the inside one of the walls sort of a museum of a Sarco.
Yeah.
So that's something to do. Oh, no, you want to chip off the old stack?
There you go.
She's got a couple behind the cash register. She'll sell them to you.
That's right.
So it goes. All right. Well, Nandy, we got the. In fact, I'm going to go to lunch at Pepe's. How about you?
I think I will be there today.
Is today the day?
Today's the day.
Yeah, fair enough. And history moment, you got that figured out.
Yes, finally got that one figured out. It's going to be about the U.S.'s view of Pancho Villa from hero to villain.
Oh, boy. There's going to be a lot of that. Because on the other hand, we got another guy who sort of fits that bill in another part of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have some influence in El Paso. And the guy's name was General Maximo Castillo.
Yes, somebody we've not heard much about.
No, we haven't. But basically, some of his memoirs that were always there in Spanish have recently been translated into a book and turned into stuff you and I can understand.
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting.
Well, that's what we got here. So we want to welcome the people that we have invited. And one of them is taking our picture right now. Her name is Cindy Medina. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. Thank you. find that
microphone, yeah.
if you don't mind there. Sergio, try that again.
Check.
Yeah, we do this on live radio all the time. You're there?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there. We got you. Okay, so Cindy, you're here, and you're the one who started this. We'll get more out of you later because you called me and said, hey, I got this book and stuff.
Yes.
And so here we are.
Here we are.
And we'll talk more about that as we go because we got to get the rest of your... And then normally, what you normally do, you've been promoting the Abraham Lincoln in Mexico book.
Definitely for Dr. Hogan, and you had me last year, so here I am again, you know, with this great group of people, Phil Stover, Mr. Castillo, promoting the book Maximo Castillo.
Are you doing this as a book consultant, basically?
No, not well.
It's because you like it.
It started as Mr. Philip Stover invited me to the event, and I reached out to Ms. Rebecca, and so it started a friendship that, yes, there'll be some publicity opportunities, definitely.
Good for you. Now, let's also talk about who else do we have here. Well, if you don't mind, introduce everybody because you know them better than I do. Who is in the room with us here?
Definitely. Let me start with Mr. Castillo, who is a descendant of Maximo Castillo. He's the grandson. And next is Mr. Stover, Phil Stover, who's a historian.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
And we'll have to ask you to talk to that orange thing.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you for being here. And then we have another person over here.
Yes, lovely Rebecca Castillo. She's the great-granddaughter of Maximo.
Okay, so you all are descendants of this guy. And did you always hear the story in the family, Rebecca?
I did. Over the years.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, here we are. Yes, absolutely. Over the years, it was very proud to discuss that our grandfather was a general in the Mexican Revolution and had such a great presence in Chihuahua, and that our family was of Chihuahua, and that he was very instrumental in helping so many with visions of a different Mexico. And the other piece to this is that he was a personal attaché to President Francisco Madero, the first democratically elected president of Mexico.
And Cindy, we're also expecting a gentleman by phone named Roger.
Yes, and I'll have Miss Rebecca talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think we found him. Roger, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
And you're
thank you very much for having me.
And what part are you on this mess, madness we're doing here this morning?
what part have I played?
Yes, sir.
Actually, a rather tangential one. I first learned about, I'm an historian at Virginia Tech. I first learned of Maximo Castillo through a colleague who's also a direct descendant, Clara Enriquez. Her mother, Luzalina, who lives in Puebla, is a great-granddaughter. And from talking to Ms. Enriquez, my colleague, I became fascinated by the fact that her ancestor was played such a prominent role in the Mexican Revolution. And I essentially did my best to arrange for an English translation, because I thought that the subject was just begging to be read by an audience in the United States for an English translation of the edition by Professor Vargas.
And that's the book at hand that we're looking to promote with you. Is that basically the deal, right?
That's my understanding.
Okay, well, no, that's great. I just have to get all the players here and figure everybody out. Let me keep going here, because we have Philip Stover in the studio, and we've already introduced it. But if you don't mind, give us an overview, if you could, of the history that we're talking about here. Because, see, here in El Paso, we have been used to the subject of Pancho Villa. And he's the kind of guy that everybody either loved him or hated him. There's nobody in the middle. And I understand that General Castillo is similar in that thing. What?
That's very true. The many of the revolutionaries fall into that category. Maximo Castillo was involved in the revolution in all five of the distinct areas of Chihuahua where revolutionary activity occurred. Down in Parral, in Guerrero, in Galeana, Casas Grandes, that Galeana district there, and up here in Juarez.
So we had Pancho primarily in Juarez, but this Maximo showed up a time or two.
He showed up many, many times. Oh. In the town I live in, Matortiz, Chihuahua, and in the town I live in, he fought a battle where he defeated the federal army about 400 yards from my home.
Put a time frame on that. What year that would have been? What year?
That was in 1913. It was in June 10th, 1913. Maximo was active in the revolution from about 2008 when he was a Maganista. He first saw conflict, battle in the 2000 here. I'm in the wrong century. In 1908, sorry. And then in 1910, he actually saw the first conflict before Madero was here. He was fighting with Orozco.
Well, the first battle of Juarez, wasn't that 1910?
1911.
In 11?
1911.
Is that what year, what month?
Yeah, in May.
May. So May 1911 is when it got lit off here.
Yes.
But they'd already been fighting in down
They had already been fighting in the Guerrero district down in Parral and as far north as Hacienda del Carmen, which today is known as Flores Magón.
So we got on our hands here a book about a guy who's similar to Villa, but he was at the other end of the state of Chihuahua, but they were on the same side.
They were only for a little while were they on the same side.
Oh, really?
They fought skirmishes against each other. They were not hostile. They were on the same side here in Juarez. At the Battle of Juarez, where Maximo Castillo was the personal bodyguard. He was the head of the, I can't think of the English word, he was the head of the
say in Spanish.
Escolta, guarda espada, Madero. And he was the personal bodyguard, and then he was promoted to be the head of the whole bodyguard force when Madero became president.
All right, the other scholar on the panel here is Roger, right? Roger, you're the other guy?
Yes. That's the claim that I hope for.
Well, what do you want to contribute to this? Because that's an interesting history there that we in El Paso don't really know that much about. What can you tell us that we need to know about this whole thing?
Well, I think I utterly agree with everything that Professor Stover just said. And he added some very interesting detail that I was frankly ignorant of. As far as Pancho Villa, they ultimately, became rivals. Maximo Castillo, from my perspective, remained a true agrarian radical. Too radical for most other revolutionary leaders. He refused to compromise. He was not a politician. He did not try to tailor his strategy to please the government of the United States, which Villa at one point was very sensitive to.
Well, the U.S. was really influential. They were giving arms and aid to these people, weren't they? In some cases.
Could you repeat that?
Well, the point was the United States got greatly involved in a lot of people's stuff in the Mexican Revolution, not always a good thing. And you had a whole bunch of Germans involved as well. They were all over the place, weren't they? I may have lost.
Please, go ahead.
No, Roger, I was just saying, there's the influence on the Mexican Revolution, you were referring to the fact that the United States wanted one guy or the other on a given battle to win or not. But the point is, the United States was involved in all kinds of stuff, not always knowing what they were doing.
To be sure. But in general, the United States took the position that in opposition to radical agrarian land reform, whereby the biggest landholders stood to have their ranches subdivided and distributed among less well-to-do Mexicans.
Well, yeah.
This was the basis of Castillo's appeal, and Villa was opposed to such an aggressive policy. But interestingly enough, it was the United States that essentially kept Castillo upon imprisoning him after he had crossed the border. It was the United States government that decided that allegations against him, fueled by Pancho Villa, for being responsible for the calamitous destruction of a train and the passengers burning to death in that train.
Well, we're going to get those details, I think, in a minute or two from Philip.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
In short,
the United States played an important role toward the end in saving his life.
Okay.
And allowing him to be deported to Cuba rather than return to Mexico, where he would have been executed on the spot by Pancho Villa.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is Roger, and you pronounce your name Eckrich?
Eckrich.
Eckrich. Roger, and you're in Virginia calling us about this book, and you were instrumental in helping getting it translated, from what I understand.
I played a role, yes.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
I've written a fair number of books of my own. I know my way around the publishing business. I circulated Professor Vargas's edition to about half a dozen very prominent historians of 20th century Mexico and the Mexican Revolution in particular. And uniformly, they endorsed the fact that it's an English translation should be done.
Well, you got it done. That's the point. Well, hold on a second. We're going to actually talk to some of the people who are related to this general. And we have them in the studio. You got Rebecca Castillo, we introduced you earlier, and old Fernando. What are your thoughts on now that you see your, Fernando, let me ask you. What are your thoughts on now you see your, I guess it would be your great-grandfather. What are your thoughts on this history of the family?
Well, I think it's kind of cleared on the history side that he was not a bandit and that he was not responsible for the deaths of the people in that tunnel.
So you think this book is going to counter some of the bad PR that has been coming out of the family about
That's right.
the family?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess if somebody wanted to do that on Pancho Villa, he'd have a big argument. Because
yes.
I don't think people would come out on one side of that very easily. But so what you're saying is your great-grandfather in your case,
right.
was not a bandit.
Right.
He was a soldier.
A soldier.
Rebecca, your thoughts?
Well, first, you know, there are two remaining grandchildren, and my father, Fernando, is the youngest grandchildren of the legendary Maximo Castillo.
And the other one's out in the control room area.
Right, right. I have my uncle, Cesar Castillo, here, too. He would love to be here talking with you, but he's a little bit hard of hearing at the moment. But, yes, absolutely. The goal of the Castillo family is to further advance the knowledge, excuse me, and the presence of the memoirs that Maximo wrote and the inspiration behind the book that Jesus Vargas Valdez authored.
And get the family's name out of the dump because it ain't right.
Basically, clear
okay.
his
See,
name.
There you go.
Clear his name is what you want to do.
Absolutely. And,
sure.
you know, that was the whole purpose of Maximo writing the memoirs was to,
okay.
to, you know, to clear not only his name, but for his family. You know, he wanted to ensure that we had something to prove that he was, you know, not this villain, this
right.
bandit.
No, this is the best thing you could have done. We got to take a break here right at this point. And, Roger, put yourself on hold. You'll hear the show going by in your ears in there. And we'll come back.
Not
to you.
A problem.
Okay, good. We'll come back to you in a minute or two. We got a whole bunch of people. Roger Eckert is
crowd.
On the phone. Philip Stover is in the studio. Cindy Medina is in here. Fernando Castillo, Rebecca Castillo, and there's one we couldn't get in here, and he's out in the hallway.
Yeah,
but that's okay. We'll tell
the
him.
Crowd's overflowing.
Tell him how it went here in the meantime. All right, we need to take a break here and do that. People, we can take a phone call if
yes.
you have a question about this.
Yes, we have Jamie Knowles in the taking our calls.
Jamie Knowles.
Knowles.
By the way, I want to make a notice about the call screener. Shelley has said she can't really do this right now for a few weeks.
Yeah, she's busy with some.
So
other
we're going
right
to put
now.
On hold her being here till maybe July.
Yes.
In the meantime, we're looking for help.
Yes, so if anybody'd like to, you know, do some call screening for us.
And Jamie's helpful. Do you want to take those calls from people?
Yes, we do.
You, I mean, you yourself. Oh, wait, no, Jamie could take them today.
Jamie can take them today because I'm too busy here with the computers.
This is true. So call us up and either talk about if you want to be a call screener or yes. do you have a week or two.
Yes, because we've got Mary Alice Shashi will be in next week. Yes, that's.
And so other people, we have lined up a few.
Yes.
But if you want to get involved in this madness, the pay is zero.
Yeah.
And your pat on the back is incredible.
Yes, yes, we will pat you several times.
And in the meantime, we have to give out the phone number to make it work.
Give a call to 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Welcome to Zip Hole USA, Double Down Edition. From collusion to confusion, there's a lot of doubling down these days, with some politicians having a hard time giving an inch in the other direction. For the latest opinions direct from the Zip app, here's Christina Staffo.
Whatever your thoughts are on the Mueller report and Attorney General Barr's handling of it, many Americans seem to kind of just be done with the whole thing. At least that's what the results on Zip Poll are telling us. One Zip Poller said, I'm not a Trump fan, but aren't you tired of the Democrats kicking the collusion tree and can't we just move on? About 85% of votes on Zip Poll say, move on. 2 years is enough. Let's do something. That means 15% echo the double down and say to keep investigating. Do you believe William Barr has done his job honorably, or do you agree with Adam Schiff in that Barr misrepresented the report?
The Attorney General did a grave disservice to the country by misrepresenting significant parts of the Mueller report.
About 60% of voters say Barr has done a fine job and is in line with the law, with 40% believing that Barr has misled the public in some way. And in blackjack, everyone knows you double down on an 11, but at this point, the Democrats are doubling down on like an 18. Do you think it's going to pay off? Almost 80% of folks on Zip Poll say no way, the Dems are going to bust.
Thanks, Christina. Download Zip Poll USA in your favorite app store today. Share your opinions and make sure your voice is heard. We'll have poll results every day on the trending topics taken directly from the Zip app. Thanks for listening to Zip Poll USA.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need
now
to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide. Which
we're back, I think.
Are we on the air?
I think we're on
the
air.
Is that a matter of radio happening?
Yeah, we just had everybody talking here.
It's a lot to do in here in the meantime. All right, we got an interesting show about the Mexican Revolution on a topic that El Paso, I don't think, has heard much about. However, a bunch of these people are from El Paso.
Well, and I think it's great about this General Máximo Castillo because he's from Chihuahua. He's a local in a sense that, you know, he's from this area versus where you had Pancho Villa's from Durango. You know, and you have Zapata, who is from farther south. So, I mean, this is unique in that he's our territory.
He's our local rebel.
Yeah, he's our local guy.
Well, we need to tell you also a couple of things else going on. The missing Pattersons are still missing.
Yeah,
there's details
still
on the history page, El Paso. It's ephistory.com. Take a look at that. All of our segments are now up from November and February for what we're doing on ABC7 El Paso. And that is at YouTube/El Paso History TV. Go take a look at that. Also, you can subscribe to that channel and help us out with that. Let you know also, voting today, Lost Dog.
Oh, yeah.
The Lost Dog Trail. Go vote in favor of keeping that, because once you get rid of a piece of mountain, you won't get it back. And so that's the idea, is to keep what you can up there. And there's also, just to let you know, there's a marker dedication for Isleta High School coming up next Friday morning at 10 a.m. It's part of the school event that day. So check that out if you got time.
Now, you can plan on spending your Saturday afternoons with Jay at 2 p.m. at the International Museum of Art down there on Brown Street and Montana. At 2 p.m. today, they're showing a movie, and it's a great movie. It's 7 Days in May, which is a really good movie. It's kind of particular to what's going on in our news today. It's U.S. military plot to take over the U.S. government. And it's called 7 Days in May, and it's starring Burt Lancaster, Ava Gardner, and Kirk Douglas. And it's a very good movie. I remember this one. And that'll be at 2 p.m. And then also next Sunday, if you're looking for something unique to take mom to for Mother's Day, well, we've got it for you. There's a pre-Mother's Day attraction and reception after the movie, and the movie's called A Little Romance. That's May 11th, and it's the 40th anniversary of this movie. And it's a really cute little romantic movie, and this is all free. So head on down there. It's at 2 p.m. on each Saturday, and go see a movie. Jay's got great topics and trivia to share with you all.
That's good stuff they do down there. Yeah. And that's an historic building, historic location.
And then go to the museum afterwards. See the beautiful artwork and all the great stuff they've got.
They have
there.
A Mexican Revolution exhibit
in
the basement.
A death mask of Pancho Villa.
They got old Pancho down there looking
He's
at you.
You're
going to go see
you.
Pancho. He's in the basement of the International Museum of Art.
One of the 3,000 death masks.
Right. Well, you know, anybody know how many they actually made? Death mask of Pancho? I mean, if you make one, can you even make 10? I mean,
you can make others over it, which they do.
Is there
too.
A death mask Xerox machine back in the
3D,
day?
3D molding.
Oh, let's put old Pancho. I don't know about that. Anyway, all right, we got this going on here, Mexican Revolution, and we're going to take another break and come back and talk about it, because Máximo Castillo and the Mexican Revolution is, in fact, let's take this on now. Rebecca, what is the event coming up in the middle of May that you guys are cooking up on May 18th?
Yes, thank you. On May 18th, the El Paso Community Foundation, in the afternoon, and of course, everyone is invited, we're going to have a celebration of Máximo Castillo's birthday in the month of May. So starting off today, are we there?
Here you go.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. Anyway, we decided to pick the month of May to celebrate everything Máximo Castillo, and starting off, kicking it off today on your show. But anyway, at the Community Foundation, we're going to feature a couple historians. Of course, Philip Stover is going to do a presentation on the Mexican Revolution, very specific to the North, and Chihuahua, of course.
So, Philip, you're going to be the star on that one. You're going to make a lot of noise
he
on
is.
That.
I'll be the falling star.
The falling star. Okay, fair enough. But Rebecca, you'll be there.
Absolutely. And we're opening the celebration with Kai Flocorico Dance. The students are going to come in and do a celebration dance. And then, of course, we're going to have Philip do a presentation on the Mexican Revolution. And we hope to honor Jesus Vargas Valdez.
Well, who's the master of ceremonies?
Well, it is this lovely gal, Cindy Medina, who's a publicist.
I knew that. I got the page right over here.
Yeah.
But so that's the big event you got coming up in May 18th,
correct.
1 to 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yes.
And you're going to be taking this book apart, putting it back together, and also questions.
Sure.
Well, we're taking questions today. If somebody has one on the phone, we will do that. But you'll have them in hand and in person.
Absolutely. I think that the whole idea of this particular event is to engage not just historians, but history buffs and people that are very fascinated with the Mexican Revolution and all those that are very focused and understanding what not just happened in Chihuahua, but El Paso. All the way around.
We got to take one more break, come back. Let's hear some of the details of how he connected to El Paso. What do you got on your mind right now?
Well, I thought what we might do is just give a quick biography of the man.
Go ahead.
We've talked about him,
please.
But not said too much about
him. And we do take another break, but go ahead and do that.
Okay. Well, we can do that. Well, Maximo was born in 1864. He spent the first 44 years of his life, as many, many folks did at that time, trying to earn a living. He came to the United States twice. When he was 18 years old, and then later on in his early 40s, trying to work in a mine, it's agriculture, as many many folks have.
Did he ever go to a Sarco? I mean, that's what a lot of them do come here.
No, he did not. To my knowledge, okay. He did not.
Poncho worked there.
He went all the way up to Colorado.
Okay.
Looking for work, and may have even gotten into Wyoming. But then he went back home after earning the grand sum of about $10.50. And he went home with that money to give to his family. His home was in a suburb of Chihuahua. He was born southwest of Chihuahua. He didn't get involved in the revolution directly till he was about 44 years old. So he was an old timer. They called him Grandpa sometimes, some of the soldiers. So as a young man, he was involved in trying to earn a living. He became involved in the reelectionist clubs and was a Maganista in Chihuahua, going to the meetings. That's where he got bitten by the bug of the revolution, and he first saw battle in southwest Chihuahua with the forces of Pascual Orozco and Villa was involved down there. And then for the years he was involved at that level. Then he went to Juarez. He was involved with Francisco Madero. Many, many, many photos of Madero have General Castillo right there next to him because he was his bodyguard for
and Pancho Villa worked with them for a while, right?
Yes, they worked together in southern Chihuahua during the initial phases before Madero was involved from 1910 in those years when Orozco was basically in charge down there, and they had a lot of success, whereas the rebels did not have success in other parts of Mexico. They were more successful, and so he got involved. He showed an aptitude in the military aspect of things. Yeah, he was called, it's funny, the Maganista newspaper, the Regeneración, the Regeneration, called him a son of the people. Huh. He never enriched himself. He never became wealthy in his whole life. He could have been like many other of the rebels did.
Is that the book you translated?
This is the book.
Let me borrow that for a second.
That's the book that was translated by the Buchanan's.
So this is the book you have in mind of people to buy?
Yes. That's
the question is, how big is the book? That's
how
big
the
book
is. What does Maganista? I've heard, you know, all the other ones you have. What does Maganista mean?
The Maganistas were the early revolutionaries. It was the Partido Liberal de México. It was a liberal party that was mostly identified with the Magón brothers.
Okay, the Magón brothers, because you had the Villistas, you had the Zapatas.
Yes, and at that time and in following years, someone like Castillo, at different points in his life, was a Magonista. He was an Orozquista. He was a Maderista. And at the very end of his life, he was a Vasquista, which is one reason that Villa didn't like him.
Right.
Because Vasquez assigned Castillo to collect the tax money in Puerto Palomas for the cattle that they were taking across to the United States.
You can't so be popular doing that.
And Villa also was collecting money for the cattle. So they got in conflict over Puerto Palomas, who was going to be the official tax collector.
So they decided to both collect the tax off the guy.
They did $5 a head, and they didn't. That didn't go well.
We're talking to Philip Stover here, and we got also Roger still on hold. I thank you there, Roger. I see your light blinking. We're going to take a break and come back and figure out a bunch more stuff. But the details are there for figuring out Máximo Castillo and the Mexican Revolution. That's the name of the book. We'll tell you more details after the break. People can call us
or Facebook us. Well, soon they can Facebook us because I just got a group picture of them here on their
There's 900 of them in here.
Yeah, we got our own V's.
There's only four of them,
here,
really.
You know, we got our own revolution going.
My poncho's above your head, by the way.
That's
back behind you there, so look out.
So give us a call at 915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
Mother's Day is next Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. One dozen assorted roses for mom for $19.99. And as a special bonus, double the roses and get a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone, and enter the secret code 1919. With fresh flowers, express delivery, and unique vases and accessories that mom will love, Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. Order now from Pro Flowers to get amazing savings. Just pick a delivery date and its freshness is guaranteed or your money back. One dozen assorted roses sent fresh from the farms and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, starting at $19.99. Or double the roses and get a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Order now because Mother's Day is next Sunday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 1919. That's proflowers.com, secret code 1919.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We got history lessons to tell you about. There's an ancient borderland exhibit on the Jornada Mogollon, and that's out at the Archaeology Museum, I believe. And they're going to have that out there for several months. Take a look at that. The archaeologists, they take a look at the Jornada Mogollon in archaic times. And there's all kinds of stuff that they found out on Fort Bliss. So take a look at that. Also, the Harvey Girls of El Paso on Monday, May 13th, 2 p.m., Union Passenger Station. The program is Fred Harvey Legacy Continues to Today's Generations. Call them up, 591-2326. Corral of the Westerners is happening again Friday, May 17th, 6 p.m., Holiday Inn on the west side at Sunland Park. And it's $20 for dinner, 759-9536. And it is the Westerners and Me by Joe Tice Bloom. What do you think she's talking about, Westerners and me? I don't get that one.
I didn't look at that one.
And another biggie coming. We'll tell you a lot more about it next week. But on May 18th and 19th, put this down for that weekend, major train show, 850 Hawkins, south of I-10 at Freeport Mac Moran, free admission. You get to climb on a big old train and check it out. And then Vince Sanchez comes along and blows it up.
And I did confirm he's bringing two cases of dynamite this time.
Oh, my God. It was pretty good last time. I caught that on video. But that's happening. And put that down on your calendar, May 18th and 19th. Because those are biggie days there down there. What do you got?
Well, I've got Feliz Cumpleaños El Paso, celebrating our heritage and looking to our future. Sunday, May 19th from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., El Paso Museum of History invites you, your family, and friends to Cleveland Square at 510 Santa Fe Avenue for the city of El Paso's 146th birthday party. The party is for the entire family. There will be food trucks, vendors, games for kids, a mascot dance-off, entertainment, music, a huge birthday cake, and much more. And the entrance to the event is free. And if your history or heritage-related organization is interested in participating in this amazing event with a free display booth, contact the great folks at Destination El Paso at 534-0645. Because we'd like to have everybody that has any kind of heritage program, bring your books out there. Talk about the heritage. There you go. You know, this is a great event for everybody to go to, but it's 146th birthday party. Come on down and party.
I want you to call 544-5876 and talk to Jamie about history.
That's
because
right.
Jamie Nodler's standing there awaiting your call.
Wait,
you know when they say we have operators standing by? There's one right there.
She's sitting by.
Oh, well, she's standing up at the moment. But she want to thank her for being call
yes.
screener today. And also
thank
the
you,
man,
Jamie.
The main man, Electron dude, Sergio Valenzuela.
All right.
You see, that's like
the other Villa East
that's
there.
Like he's a soccer guy. So we just have to make that point. That Sergio is the reason we actually are on the air.
Yeah, he's
so be it. Oh, one more thing, Cindy Medina. What is the special?
We chose, Rebecca and I here, the combination plate number one.
Ooh.
At Pepe's today, numero uno becomes $6. Get out there and buy. And you can buy one per person. They don't want you to buy 17 of them and take them home and feed the family.
No.
That's not right. Buy those at high price.
And everybody here is going pretty much. So
it's going
to have a big crowd. So if you want to talk to them after the show, too, you can come up there
do you
and
have any?
With us.
I didn't ask you ahead of time, but do you have any books available on this event yet? You have to
all the books, you can actually purchase them from LSU Press or Amazon.com.
Do you have any in your trunk?
No, no. Oh. The books are available via Amazon.com. The only books I have are the actual personal ones that I'm holding. Now, I do get lots
for
of requests.
For the right price?
right. So... you know, right now we're working with Professor Jesus Vargas Valdez and trying to perhaps offer the Spanish version too. That seems to be a little bit difficult to find.
That would be good.
Other than
especially
in
this
Mexico.
Is Rebecca right. Castillo talking here.
Sure.
And you're one. Well, how many greats are you? Great, great.
I'm one of many great grandchildren here
great,
in
great.
El Paso.
Two greats?
No,
she's
just one great.
One great. That's,
uh-huh.
that's great enough, right? Uh-huh.
Bisnieta. There's lots of tataranietos out here in El Paso and in Chihuahua, which are great, great, great grandchildren, sure. But I'm a very proud great granddaughter of Maximo Castillo.
Well, let's do this. We have left this poor man on hold from Virginia for a long time here. And Roger Eckert, we appreciate you standing by there, presuming you're still there. What are your thoughts on what you've been hearing the last 20 minutes?
Well, I want to emphasize one thing, and that is that the cloud of suspicion that you all have alluded to relating to his alleged participation in 1914, whereby a passenger train plowed into an empty freight cars that had been detained and set on fire in Chihuahua, that cloud rapidly dissipated in Castillo's own lifetime. He was exonerated, and I have learned, Rebecca, I think, knows much more about this, by a very prominent El Paso attorney, if I'm not mistaken, who was mayor at the time.
Oh, you mean Tom Lee?
Him.
You're talking about Tom Lee, the senior Tom Lee.
Yes.
By the way, just so you know, you may already know this, I presume you do, the younger Tom Lee, his son, turned out to be a fairly good artist here in El Paso, and he's well known for being Tom Lee of El Paso. But his father was the mayor, and the mayor, at the time being a lawyer, he represented these guys.
Well, yes. In fact, I'd like my father to pretty much give you those thoughts for a lot of reasons, because those came from my grandfather, Felix Castillo. So, Dad, do you want to tell them a little bit about what you know, and then I can, reiterate some of my thoughts?
Yeah, the story that my dad told me, I know there's nothing in writing that I know of, but he told me that Tom Lee had represented him, and that he was able to, that time Mexico did not want him to be returned, and the U.S., I guess, apparently didn't want him here. So his story, my dad said that Tom Lee arranged for him to go to Cuba.
Cuba?
Right, exiled to Cuba. So to kind of help, you know, pretty much with those particular thoughts, according to General Máximo Castillo's memoirs, he writes that the U.S. authorities recognized that he was innocent of the charges levied against him regarding the explosion of the train in Columbre. So that's the most controversial part of the issue. I think it's, you know, he also writes that it's very clear that the U.S. gathered all the necessary information to arrive at that conclusion. Otherwise, they would have never released him for the deaths of U.S. citizens on Mexican soil. So those are the thoughts there. And, you know, the press at the time never really rendered a final judgment on that. But at the end of the day, my papa, Felix, was very engaged in keeping his sons very knowledgeable in the fact that he was very fond of Tom Lee Jr. and his, whether it was behind the scenes, support and defending Máximo, and then, of course, facilitating his exile to Cuba.
So that's at the end of his career.
Correct.
What about when he blew up a train? I mean, what was that all about?
Well, I'll hand that over to Philip.
That noise, by the way, is moving the microphones in the studio. Sorry that it sounds so weird.
Yeah,
hey, that's what we do.
We'll have Philip. You know,
yeah, no, Philip, but what's the deal? There's a train in a tunnel? What's that all about?
Okay. The Cumbre Tunnel is the final tunnel in the section of the Mexican Northwestern Railroad between Casas Grandes and Madera. It's the longest tunnel. It's about 3/4 mile long. I've been in it, walked in it many times. It's still there. In fact,
is it in use?
They had to rebuild the tunnel. No, not today. It's not in use. They had then 6 years after the explosion, they rebuilt a new tunnel.
Oh, they dug another one.
And they dug another one. So, but it was quite an engineering feat at that time. It made worldwide news.
Well, they figured they did one, they could do another one, huh?
Yeah, and they did.
Now, Except the first one had a train blocking it.
Well, what happened was some group of rebels took some cattle cars, some empty box cars, put them in the middle of the tunnel, and the tunnel is so long you cannot see from one end to the other.
Oh, so you come barreling in there, you have no idea it's blocked.
The idea, the theory is that perhaps they lit the cattle cars on fire, or they mined them so that
they put explosives on them.
When the southbound train came through, everyone who's been blamed for this would say that they didn't know it was going to be a passenger train. They thought it would be another cattle car coming through there.
So they killed people.
So they killed people, and there are different numbers. Probably 55 people were killed, of which 21 may have been U.S. citizens.
What year was this?
This was 2014. This was January 4th,
2014.
1914. There I go again.
No, but the point
I'm just a 21st century kind of guy.
No, I was following you. I was back in 1914. Yeah, but the point was, 2 years later, in January of 16, is when they had the problem on the curve down there, Gringo's Curve, they call
it. That was a different situation.
And that was Pancho Villa, not in a tunnel.
That was Pablo López. Pablo López, a general for Villa, was there.
Okay.
And
so we know about that one, but this one, we hadn't heard about this one.
We did not know. Now, there's basically the passenger car roared full speed into the...
Oh, my goodness.
And there was a tremendous explosion. It burned for weeks, and it was a terrible, terrible thing. The people were killed. And there are basically three theories about it very quickly, about who did it. The first theory was Máximo Castillo got blamed. It was highly unlikely that he was even in that area at that time.
Do what? Oh, I'm sorry.
I said precisely.
Precisely. This is from Virginia. You heard the word precisely.
Yes, yes. He was up in Palomas, most likely, getting cattle tax at that time. He stayed pretty much between Palomas, Corralitos, and San Pedro during that specific time frame. And then there are some people who think that some men from Villa did it in order to blame Castillo. so that they could then capture Castillo and be heroes. Remember, one of Villa's primary motivations was to keep in, at that time at least, to stay in good graces with the U.S. Government.
He was trying.
And he was trying. Yeah, didn't always succeed, but he was trying. So some people say a Colonel Samaniego was involved in doing it. We don't know. The third and the most, you know, what seems to be the most likely case, Francisco Almada, the great Chihuahuense historian, Dr. Vargas, has written about it. Actually, La Patria wrote about it in 1922, the Mexican newspaper, that Manuel Gutierrez, who was a colonel underneath Castillo until they had some outs as well, was involved in it and actually did it. And in fact, Rodrigo Quevedo, who was born in Casas Grandes, general, famous revolutionary general, he was the head of all the federal army in Casas Grandes. He pardoned Gutierrez for all his crimes. So that gives a lot of evidence that he may have done it as well.
We need to take a break here. We're going to come back and see what Roger has to say about it. Don't worry, Roger. We're going to get a hold of him in a minute. But also, your summation real quick. Did Mr. Castillo in his memoirs say he did it?
He always maintained he did not do it. He had nothing to do it.
There's your bottom line. We'll get to that after the break here, because we got to take this apart, put it back together, because that seems to be a major
issue. He did say at one point in time it might have been some of my men.
Ah, well, but okay, bottom line.
Men had already left him.
The train is already gone. The train is already blown up in the station, or worse than that. Okay, taking a break here, 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-6131. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-6131. That's 1-800-900-6131. 1-800-900-6131.
iHeartRadio presents the podcast premiere event of Sleepwalkers.
Technology is changing our lives in ways we don't even notice.
There's 2.2 billion people who use Facebook. That's about the size of Christianity. There's 1.9 billion people who use YouTube. That's about the size of Islam.
On Sleepwalkers, we dive deep into the AI revolution and find out what it means for our future with the people who are building it. What effect is it having on us?
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we're talking about the Mexican Revolution, a little bit different than El Paso normally hears. One question I have before we get to Roger, how long did Porfirio Diaz reign in his history? How long was he involved?
He was involved for 31 years. There was a break for a couple of years when he was not president, but he was 31 years.
That's a long
time. And then
time.
Madero came in after that. Francisco Madero?
And then Madero was before him, and Lerdo was before him, and Madero was after him.
All right, we got Roger back on the phone. Roger, your thoughts on some of this. You developed the Wikipedia page for Mr. Castillo, General Castillo, right?
I did. And I relied very heavily upon the memoirs once they were translated into English. still edited in a very meticulous, detailed fashion by Professor Valdez. I just wanted to add that Gutierrez, I agree entirely with Professor Stover. He did seem the most likely responsible for the fire. He was disaffected at the time from Castillo. Moreover, while Villa was very enthusiastic about pinning the blame on Castillo and made no bones about the fact that should Castillo be released back into Mexico by the United States government after he was exonerated, that indeed he would be virtually instantly after a show trial executed.
Oh.
But the interesting thing is that prior to the tunnel fire, there had been a meeting between Villa's wife and Castillo, whereupon she and a small party at night had lost their way and stumbled upon Castillo's encampment. He treated her with a tremendous graciousness and asked her to tell her husband that this is how Maximo Castillo treats the family, and this in particular, the wife of his adversary. No proponent of Castillo's innocence, arguably, was more persuasive after he was arrested and put on trial at Fort Bliss than Villa's wife, who, as I included in the Wikipedia article, she said that I cannot believe that that man with the gentle face and smiling eyes could have committed such a crime. And in fact, that overwhelmingly is the opinion of modern historians, including the famous Friedrich Katz, mm-hmm. who wrote the standard biography of Pancho Villa and taught for many years at the University of Chicago, and in fact included a preface of his in the edition by Professor Valdez.
Interesting history here. You've really taken a look at it. We're going to take a break and ask you to maybe either call us back about 6 or 7 minutes after the hour or stay on hold as you wish. We're glad to have you either way. Roger?
Yes.
All right.
We'll
catch you either way. I'm going to put you on hold. If you want to drop off and go get a glass of water and come back in 6 minutes, we'll see you then. Hold on. All right. Thanks a lot. And in the meantime, we're going to take a break here and come back and do some more of this. Is there something you missed?
No, I'm just typing away on the computer here at Facebook. So I'm trying to get their picture up so everybody can see it.
And if I can get this old Windows 7 computer to turn on correctly, maybe I'll see what you're doing. I'll go find a smartphone in that case. But we're going to take a break here. Got this whole crowd in here talking about the Mexican Revolution from a little bit different perspective than we've heard here on this radio show in El Paso. And we've been talking about this for years. And so we got this new guy. There's an old guy.
There's so much that has not really been discussed about the Mexican Revolution, which
comes.
I think is fascinating. So.
After the news, we're going to pick it up some more.
Okay.
See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.